The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Good evening and welcome into the PNC studio at Hallisaw. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber, and we're pleased to be joined by the Bears' second year starting safety, Adrian Amos. Adrian, what's going on? How are you today?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. Glad to have you here, and glad we can have a break in the sports talk broadcast world from all things Cubs.
Right.
Good on them, but time for a little football.
Are you into that at all, though, Adrian? Are you a sports fan where you follow baseball?
I saw you wearing that Orioles hat a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I'm from Baltimore.
He's a Baltimore guy.
So Baltimore sports, you know, that's always where home is. So I'm a kind of Orioles fan, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not too big of a baseball fan. I watch it when it get tight, get close to playoff season.
Right. What about college football, Penn State?
I mean, that's my school, you know what I'm saying? So Penn State, yeah, I've been following them. They, won on homecoming this past weekend, beat Maryland pretty convincingly.
Right, they did. Yeah, but it's weird because there's some guys that we've come across that they're not a sports fan or they're not a football fan. It's always weird to me to find guys like that. It's, you know, for example, Charles Tillman. He was not a guy that watched football and didn't pay attention to the sport outside of his responsibilities. Me, I'm a sports guy. I would rather watch that on TV than I would, you know, the other stuff that's on.
Oh yeah, growing up, you know, I was a, you know, big sports guy. I watch a lot of, you know, NFL, NBA, more so NBA, NFL, but growing up, college basketball. So in those two sports, and I played both sports, you know, growing up. So those were the two, you know, I really paid attention to a lot.
Yeah, we'll get around to some of your growing up in Baltimore a little bit later on in the show, because I know you had a decorated career there. I know you guys are trying to, you know, just focus on what's ahead this week, as well you should. But, you know, as we take a look at bigger picture, what's happened so far this season, how is the coaching staff, what's their message been in terms of, you know, keeping this team's, you know, collective psyche together after, you know, unfortunately another slow start? Your rookie year it was the same kind of start, and it's been this way so far this year, unfortunately.
I mean, it feels a little different this year as we are closer. You know what I'm saying? It seems like, you know, we one or two plays away, or, you know, mess up here, mess up there. And the mindset is a little different this year, that we can really get on the road. We just have to play together. We overcoming some injuries, people stepping in, filling in. Mm-hmm. Everybody got to know their assignments. But, yeah, the coaches, you know, just saying keep positive one day, one game at a time. To get this back on track. So all we can focus on is the next week. We got to play together. We got to limit mistakes that can cost us games.
Do you feel – older is the wrong word, but do you feel more like a veteran? Because it's unique for you. You came in here as a fifth-round draft choice, and people don't know if you're going to play – you're going to make the team, you're going to be a special teams contributor. Boom, you're a starter from basically the second preseason game. Do you feel more advanced than you see some of the other guys that haven't been thrust into the opportunity that you've taken advantage of?
I guess last year was a great opportunity, and I got that experience just being in the NFL and seeing, you know, the landscape of the NFL, how offenses run, just being more comfortable out there. So this second year with, you know, the experience, especially, you know, in our secondary, you know, a lot of people look at me for plays and different things like that because I did it more than a lot of people, you know, last year. So I understand what Vic wants in certain times. So I just try to do that. I don't look at myself as a veteran or anything. I'm just a guy that I feel like I need to be on top of my, you know, assignments. I need to know what's going on. I need to know the defense, not just my job, but I need to know, you know, the defense and what we're trying to do.
All the losses stink, no matter how they come. But did this one last Sunday in Indianapolis, did it sting a little bit more just because I don't know. Vic was talking about it earlier today about how it seemed like the defense as a whole couldn't quite get in sync on Sunday in Indianapolis, where when you'd have a pass rush, there might be something going on in the secondary that breaks down and vice versa. Would you characterize it that way? How frustrating was this particular loss for you?
I mean, it's frustrating because, you know, one or two plays could have changed the game. And if, you know, we made one more play, the outcome would have been different and we'd have been talking about how good we played. You know what I'm saying? Well, the outside world would have been talking about how good we played. But the mistakes are still the mistakes. And it's frustrating when you're close. But, you know, because you're tired of being just close, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, there's no reward for being close to winning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reward when you lose, you know what I'm saying?
You know what just I like about Vic Fangio, though, is you listen to his press conference, and he's so honest about everything, a game plan, the way people played. But then he takes some responsibility for the coverage that resulted in the last touchdown about having over-the-top help for the cornerback. But, you know, cornerbacks have to have a short memory because they are going to give up pass completions. They make the tackle, then you move on to the next play. But, you know, it's not all – he wants the responsibility to make sure that you guys understand your assignments, but he also understands that he's got some responsibility to the players to make sure the right defense called and it's efficiently run. So – I really like what I hear out of him because I think the players can rally around his message just with a lot more confidence because of that.
But is it like that in the meeting room?
Yeah. It goes back and forth. You know, he accepts responsibility first and foremost, even when we feel like, you know, we still got to make that play. You know, even though he puts us in a tough coverage, he's not going to be perfect the entire game. They're going to run a play that, you know, matches up poorly for what we're running on defense sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So we're not always going to be in the perfect coverage, but we know, you know, in the secondary, we might not be put in that right position, but we got to make that play sometimes. And those one or two plays that we got to make like that, you know, that could be the difference of the game.
If you're coming to either of the next two Bears home games, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside Soldier Field. We're going to burn our first time out here on Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. When Tom and I come back with Adrian Amos, I want to talk a little bit more about a little discussion that was going on the sidelines during that game on Sunday, and also get a little bit more into this coaching staff, this veteran coaching staff, especially the position coach for Adrian, the veteran defensive backs coach Ted Donatell. That when we continue from the PNC studio at Halas Hall, you're listening to Bears All Access. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. As we welcome you back into Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabeman this week. Tom Thayer, the standby here every week, and we're here with Bears safety Adrian Amos, who's been kind enough to join us over the course of this hour. So going back to Sunday after that first touchdown, the TV cameras caught some of you guys going back and forth in terms of, I'm sure, responsibility was being discussed and how Dwayne Allen got wide open. I mean, all guys have to be ticked off when you're giving up points. And is it good if anyone has issues or confusion just to hash it out right away in the heat of the moment, you know, even if some people may catch it?
Yeah, but, you know, that's a misconception about, you know, the argument. The argument wasn't even really about that play.
Cause oh, really?
Neither me or H, that was neither one of our responsibility on that play. But we got to the sideline, and where was the exchange about something else that, you know, wasn't like. And I don't want to really get into specifics.
No, I'm not asking,
why I got into it, but yeah, it's a bad look, you know, outside in. Everything cool now, you know, certain things flare up sometimes. You don't want to have that, but as long as we move forward, we'll be fine.
Tom played on the team with the most drama going on inside and
right. You know, cameras catch everything, and it's just something that you kind of grow through. It's not going to separate anybody, and it's not going to make anybody be disinterested in their job. It's just a matter of the way the cameras are pointed at you. They focus on sideline things, but
there's so many more now too.
Right.
What are they, like 16, 20 cameras at NFL games?
In any other work atmosphere of any other job, nothing like that happens where there's cameras on you. And, you know, maybe in a different workforce, you become splintered because of it. In the NFL, there's times where it makes you a closer football team because you realize everybody is pointed for the same direction. And, you know, to me, I think the team would come out, you know, have a challenge of coming out closer because of what we were able to see than, you know, being splintered apart.
And I think that's usually the case. It's just the drama of the video or the pictures catching it at a certain time where, hey, you got to get things off your chest, and it's an emotional physical game, and that happens a lot. So so last 2 weeks you've had Stafford and Luck. Have you noticed a big difference from veteran guys like that versus some of the rookies that you faced earlier? I mean, between Prescott and, you know, Osweiler was only in his eighth NFL start, and Wentz coming in, was there that much of a difference that you saw between some of these younger guys and the Staffords and the Lucks who have been around for several years?
You know, a lot of them are just better in different ways. The difference between Luck, he tries to get them into the perfect play call for what coverage we're in, so he read the safeties a lot. You know, going back and forth, the entire game. Sometimes we got them, and then sometimes they knew we was in quarters, and then they run the scissors route, you know, for that last play of the game, but or the last touchdown they had. So, little stuff like that. How to play with the quarterbacks? If the quarterbacks are reading, or are they being told, you know, where to go with the ball? So, that just difference mentally, really. I mean, obviously some quarterbacks have stronger arms than others, but from, you know, them, the rookies to Andrew Luck, that's where you see the difference.
Well, it'll be interesting because Blake Bortles, he's got a lot of similar traits to Andrew Luck. He doesn't have the experience Andrew Luck did either coming out of college or where he's at this stage of his NFL career. But it'll be interesting to see the carryover for what they assumed to work against the Bears last week in Indianapolis, to see if Jacksonville tries to take advantage of it this week, and then how you guys defensively see Blake Bortles. So that's the great challenge of NFL, is that to see if the way you guys alter the way you're thinking about a certain formation offensively and the way they're thinking about how you guys. So it'll be a fun challenge to go against Blake Bortles because he's willing to run the ball and he's a big, strong arm quarterback, just a little bit less experienced than Andrew Luck.
Bortles, that's what he does well, getting out the pocket. You know, when he gets out of the pocket, that's, you know, you have a lot of trouble with that strong quarterback.
He's another big boy.
Two weeks in a row, the quarterback's the second-leading rusher on the football team.
Yeah, right.
So you know that Andrew Luck's willing to run the ball when he has to. I think, the first or second play of the game, he ran it downfield for his biggest gain. And Bortles, you know, maybe he'll be trying to do the same thing. But you get a supportive crowd. You get the Bears defense to get those guys involved. And you have a different way how the line of scrimmage is controlled by your opponent's offense if the crowd is involved in the game.
Yeah. That's a big help, you know, pre-snap, with pre-snap reads,
right.
Mostly too. When that crowd is loud, you know, they, you know, sometimes fumble over there, you know, their cadence, their reads, their get them offensive linemen jumping off sides, and you know, we just want to, you know, disguise them and hopefully, you know, that our defensive line, you know, did a great job last week, you know, pressuring the quarterback. We just don't want them, you know, getting out that pocket and chucking that ball.
I think the safeties can disguise defense as well as any player on the field. Do you feel that you know this defense well enough the second year in a Vic Fangio system where maybe the defense is called and you won't get into the position you're supposed to be in until the ball is about to be snapped? Or are you? Do they want you to be more on your landmark and be a part of, you know, the defense called, or can you move around a little bit?
It depends on, you know, it's film study, and we talk about it during the week. It's certain stuff we can play with, certain stuff we can't play with. So, you know, that's more game plan, and then once I understand what we're trying to do that week, once we understand what we're trying to do that week, we try to work together with that.
The guy that we were talking about, Vic Fangio, during the last segment, but the guy you spend the most time with coaching-wise is Ed Donatell, not Ted, as I may have said a little bit earlier. My brain racing too far ahead. But Ed's been around forever in this league, and he's made a lot of defensive backs into great defensive backs and a lot of guys to the Pro Bowl. What was it like for you coming in here a year ago? And does he seem to have a certain special knack for taking – even some of these unsung guys, you being a fifth rounder and all the undrafted corners and DBs that he has to work with now, and what's his special gift in molding and shaping you guys into what you'll eventually become?
I don't really know what his, you know, special gift is, but yeah, he has a, you know, a long history of doing that, but he makes us have attention to detail, you know. A lot of times, you know, growing up throughout my career, I just rely on athleticism mostly. He plays attention to those. He makes me pay attention to those small details and you know, alignment, leverage, and things like that. So he's a real stickler on those things.
Are you a fan of the loud music at practice? Because communication is one of the keys to the defensive back success. Like you said, if you don't pay attention to details, you got to know what everybody's doing. But if you want to yell at communication, sometimes you can't because the music and the sound is so loud. I don't know if you had that experience in college, and have you liked it since you've been here with the Bears?
Noise at practice?
Noise or even the music music playing.
I mean, I like the music playing. That just gives the, you know, a extra, you know.
Little bump.
You know, little bump to practice. But yeah, home, we like it when it's loud at home. But we have to communicate. We have to know that goes from practice. Practice leading up, we know what each other has and what we need to do. Maybe if we have a hand signal or anything like that. But we got different forms of communication that we do. So that practice, I mean, it helps some people. But I just see it as, you know, the music as, you know, extra little bump to practice, because it doesn't really affect, you know, the secondary much when it comes to that noise.
Time for another break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. When we continue from the PNC studio at Halisaw with Adrian Ambles, I want to expand on that a little bit more and talk a little bit about the difficulty of having some of that unspoken eye-to-eye communication out there on the field, especially with all the new faces and all the injuries you're dealing with, getting into a rhythm amongst the defensive backs. That's when we continue from Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Pick up a Chicago Bears Fathead inside your Sunday Chicago Tribune exclusively at your local Julasco. Also redeem coupons from Dr. Pepper on each Fathead as we roll on here on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halisaw. Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, and Bears safety Adrian Amo. So we were talking a little bit about the talent of the coaching of Ed Donatell, your defensive backs coach. And now with all these moving parts, lots of young players, and lots of injuries you're dealing with too, guys going in and out of the lineup. How difficult is that? I mean, I'm sure you and Harold Jones-Korte have been playing enough together for a while where, you know, you can have that eye-to-eye communication where you don't have to necessarily yell things out or anything like that, know what the other guy's doing. But with all these new faces and not being able to get on the practice field enough with some of these injuries you've been dealing with, how difficult is that to establish, and how important is that to get done moving forward here, especially when, you know, you're working with new guys in games?
I mean, it's something you have to do. You don't look at it as being too difficult. Everybody's in the same meeting rooms, and when everybody can practice, they can practice. So the people moving up that haven't had that many reps leading up to games, you know, they got to lock in quick, and we communicate with each other. We watch film together sometimes, a little extra. but everybody is held accountable. It's, you know, it's not, you know, too much room for excuses when it comes to knowing your assignments and knowing what you are looking for in certain formations.
Just a question that we are talking about in the commercial. So you got Joe Paterno 1 year, you got O'Brien 1 year in Franklin. Oh, 2 years with O'Brien and 2 years with Franklin.
1 year.
1 year with Franklin.
Yeah.
Did any one of those guys require the most out of you? Did they have the most responsibility for you being as developed as you were when you came out of college to make that transition from a fifth rounder to a starter? Or was it just a combination of all three? They each one of them left you with a little something.
You know, it's pretty much a combination because when I came into Penn State, I was a cornerback with Paterno and Tom Bradley, Scrap. Played corner my next year, my sophomore year, and then my junior year I played corner and nickel and some third down safety sometimes here and there.
Versatile.
And then my senior year I played, that's when we had Coach Bob Shoup,
right,
who he's at Tennessee now. I played dime, nickel, both safeties and corner. So I played every position in the back end. So so I was learning the entire defense. So I feel like now when I learn defenses, I try to learn, you know, more positions because, you know, my father always told me, keep your options open.
Right.
So
your freshman year, you contributed in all 12 games. Your sophomore, junior, senior year, you started every game, correct?
Yeah.
Is that
so,
okay?
So yeah.
So do you think you could play dime corner, nickel corner, or do you think that the NFL, the skills for cornerback positions have left you and you are pure safety through and through?
I mean, I feel like anything I practice, you know, I feel like I could play it. You know, I was, my mindset that I was still a corner, you know, throughout college. Basically, you know, started that corner all the way throughout, you know, even in certain situations. So, and then coming out to the draft, you know, starting out, I was, you know, debating whether I should play, you know, corner, safety. You know, some people saw me as a safety, some people saw me as a corner, but I've been playing safety so long, I started to, you know, look like a safety. So,
are you a better tackler at safety?
Because,
you know, cornerbacks, they got a reputation where they're not the most physical of guys. And then safeties have the reputation that they are real. They're just a linebacker that's a little light that's playing in the defensive backfield. So there's got to be a transition of tackling ability from corner to safety.
I mean, it's different as, you know, we coming downhill as opposed to coming from a corner position. But I played a lot of boundary corner and we had kick coverage. I was either in man or I was in kick coverage. So I played a lot in the run also, so I don't know what to say. I'm not a linebacker.
Right. Well, hey, you've had a couple of hits this year that were linebackerish, man. Yeah. The one on Cole Beasley. There was another one too. Was it the week after you popped somebody really good? Was it in the Detroit game? I'm trying to remember, but you were pretty hot on social media after that Cole Beasley hit.
Yeah. Man.
What did that feel like? And now that you're in your second year, is there a certain greater confidence level where you have the anticipation and the timing than maybe you would have had a year ago in order to deliver some of these big hits?
Yeah, I mean, I can look at a lot more. I'm not just zoned in on, you know, one particular thing. Just more so I understand the call more than, you know, just knowing the responsibility, you know, of the call. So start to feel for certain things that might be open. I mean, I'm still learning a lot, you know what I'm saying? It's my, you know, I played a lot of football, but it's still my second year. I'm still learning, you know, more and more every game. So I'm looking back at film and seeing where that I could have broke a little faster, you know, I could have got after the ball or things like that. So I'm just learning every day to put myself in more position to make more impact plays.
Do you have a different you know, you have an anticipation to the hit you have on Cole Beasley, and then you have a different anticipation to a hit maybe you're going to put on a bigger tight end. When you're all that's going through your head, you know, Beasley, I can light him up because he's only 100 and something pounds. But hey, this tight end is 250 plus pounds. Is there a different mentality or different thought process in before you deliver a big hit like that?
I don't know. It depends on my mindset at that time. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you get that mindset, you know, I just want to take whoever head off, you know. Then sometimes you get the bigger tight end. You got that mindset. You want to take his head off. Then they turn around. They see you. You see them. Then you got to go low sometimes, you know. Physics.
Right, you know? Right.
Well, a lot of people were oohing and aahing in the house that Jerry built and oohing and aahing back here in Chicago at the hit by Beasley. Yeah. What was that? Could you feel like the air getting sucked out of him? What was that? What's that sensation like? Not to pound on the poor guy, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it initially happened, I didn't really think it was, you know, I feel like I got him, you know, I was happy I got him before the first down, but then I saw, you know, reaction and it kept showing the replay, and I was like, I guess I hit him pretty hard.
In college, you would have been called for taunting. Are you standing over and I'm giving him a little something else?
No, I mean, I really didn't think it was that hard until I saw the replay and then. You know, I guess.
Well, from a fan's point of view, yeah. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was old school Bears hit right there. And obviously, from last year, a lot of the talk in terms of improvement has been about making more plays on the ball, getting more takeaways. Is that a fine line, though, that you kind of have to walk between you want that aggressiveness and knowing you can get to it, but also not wanting to take that gamble where you might get burned? How do you kind of walk that fence in terms of trying to create more takeaways but also trying to be safe and not let the big play happen behind you too?
You know, going about this, you know, I get asked these questions a lot about, you know, making more plays on the ball. But, you know, that's a part of my growth and learning and putting myself in better positions, you know, to do that. You know, I work on, you know, my breaks, my this and that, but I think, you know, the mental aspect of being in the right place, making the quarterback think one thing and getting to another one, those forced turnovers, you know what I'm saying? It just being around the ball too. You know, I get to the ball more, you get more tips, you get more overthrows, you get, you know, more things like that. So, you know, I got, you know, take it upon myself and watch more film and get better at that.
Time for another break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. When we continue with Adrian Amos, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the new additions, new ingredients on this Bears defense and how they've helped, especially a lot of the young guys in front of and behind those couple of linebackers that they have picked up since the end of last season. That when we continue from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Join Bears Care in raising funds for programs supporting Chicago area breast cancer patients and their families. Purchase your Real Bears Fans Wear Pink shirt at chicagobears.com/pink. As we continue inside the PNC studios at Hallis Hall with Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, alongside our special guest tonight, Adrian Amos, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaidman tonight. So since last season, a couple more additions to this defense, veteran additions to the defense, in Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Obviously, winners, leadership, experience. How much have they helped you guys in the defensive backfield, too?
You know, a lot. You know, and both of them, they hold everybody accountable. You know, they're getting after players when, you know, people don't know their assignments or and things like that. And physically, they're fast. You know what I'm saying? They get sideline to sideline. Free take all the tackles, you know. So, but yeah, they're sideline to sideline. They're shooting gaps. They're playing really good.
You know, a guy that's about to come back on the scene, Pernell McPhee. Last year when I got to see Pernell McPhee at training camp, and I'm in street clothes, he was intimidating to me because he kind of changed the culture of the defense within just the way he was practicing. Yeah. So now you're a young rookie guy that you're into the starting lineup, and there's Pernell McPhee. You're going eyeball to eyeball with him in the same huddle. Was it intimidating to you, or did he give you confidence, or did he raise the expectations that you need to put on yourself?
You know, I was glad he was on my team,
right.
You know what I'm saying? He, you know, he do bring a, you know, extra bit of, you know, confidence to the defense, you know, extra, you know,
attitude,
dog to
swagger,
the defense,
right.
You know what I'm saying? if you know, you're not running to that side type thing, you know what I'm saying? So you know, he's going to be a big, you know, big help when he get back, and his mindset and hearing him talk, you know, he can't wait.
I remember the first couple days of in pads training camp last year. I said to Zach Miller, I said, boy, it's going to be a long training camp for you guys because Purnell takes everything serious. So whether you're an offensive tackle on the edge going against Purnell McPhee or you're a tight end that has to block him by himself, he's not going to make it easy on anybody. So, again, I like the way that just the change, the frame of mind that he brought to the entire defense. And I think it's exciting for the Bears fans who got to watch him last year to get a chance to see him when he gets back on the field this year.
Yeah. We're excited for him to be back. We got to handle business. It's going to be, you know, good to have him back, you know, on that edge, setting the edge and, you know, giving us another, you know, one of our players back, you know.
Well, you know, his first two sacks last year, he came from rushing over the offensive guard in the Seattle game. So, you know, that's the one thing that's neat about Purnell is he's not one-dimensional, that his dimensions go up and down the defensive line of scrimmage.
Exactly, yeah.
You were the first Bears rookie since Brian Urlacher in 2000 to lead the team in tackles a year ago as a rookie. What did you get most out of your rookie year? Obviously, you got tons of playing time, and having all that under your belt has to be invaluable. But, you know, you were working your way through, I know, the shoulder issue late in the season last year. How would you place yourself now compared to where you were a year ago with everything that you have under your belt and everything up here, too?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously a little more healthy. But mentally, like I was saying earlier about having a grasp for what, you know, Vic wants, you know, as far as the defensive plays, and another year here in the terminology, you know, another year in the defense, as this is my first time having the same defensive coordinator twice, as we talk about all those D coordinators I had at Penn State. So that's the biggest thing I see is mentally, but like I said, I'm still growing each and every day, each and every week. I'm feeling a little bit more and more, you know, more and more comfortable each and every day with the defense.
You know, last year, the first preseason game, they started Brock Vereen at the safety position, who was drafted by the Bears. I think he played a total of 8 plays. You came in the game, and you've been the starter ever since then. What did it make you realize the importance of the coach's expectations on every player on this football team? Or did it make you think, wow, they believe in me. If I take a stronghold on this job, it could be mine for the season? Or was it too young in the season to even think that far ahead?
You know, I was just trying to, you know, get better every day. And I had the mindset that I wanted to play, you know what I'm saying, and contribute early. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I had that, you know, little chip on my shoulder that I was drafted so late also. So I wanted to come in and I wanted to play early. And, you know, I was thankful for, you know, the opportunity, you know, because that's what I asked for, the opportunity. And when I got the phone call, and I was like, you know, all I want, you know, all I wanted was the opportunity to get out there and play. So, you know, now's, you know, my job to make more plays and, you know, and carry that on and prove them right, you know, for giving me these opportunities.
Did you play on special teams in college? Because, you know, most guys, they get drafted and they come in, their first contribution is on special teams, but your first contribution was at a starter. Did you play special teams in college, or were you playing so much regular defense that you didn't really deal with those at all?
Well, my freshman year, I played some, you know, I played special teams. I started a couple of games my freshman year. I played special teams, but then after that, we had the sanctions. So they didn't really let me play special teams at all, really. After that, you know, a lot of the starters weren't playing special teams because we had, you know, limited scholarships and limited players, so we didn't have, you know, that many backups. So, I didn't play really much special teams till I got here, and then they told me to play wing or punt. I was, you know, but, you know, I learned the stuff, and I did it, you know, during the preseason, regular season, you know, and even now I'm, you know, still on kickoff.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Remember talking to you last year, and you admitted the fifth round thing kind of drove you. Yeah. You know, does it still to this day, even though you've been starting for almost a year and a half now in the league?
Yeah, you know, it drives me, you know, it drives me every day. But I just want to be better in general. You know, that's the type of person I am. I want to be better than I was before. And I feel like a lot of people still sleep on me. You know, I just had a mentality that a lot of people, you know, don't think I can do this or do that. So I'm just trying to be better, you know, each and every day. And I, you know, but, you know, most importantly to, you know, help us win because we got to start getting some wins in here.
Yeah, they'll look for a win Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars at Soldier Field. And Adrian's going to be seeing a guy he went to college with who has gotten off to a pretty good start in his NFL career. We'll talk about that ahead of Sunday's matchup when Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, continues from the PNC Studios at House Hall. Sunday's Bears game is brought to you by Jewel Osco. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears sweatband courtesy of Jewel Osco. Almost the same kind that Adrian Amos will wear when he takes the field Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pleased to have Adrian with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. With Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden. So tell us a little bit about Allen Robinson. He had himself a monster year along with the other second-year guy at the time last year, Allen Hurns, on the other side. They spell their names the exact first way, and they both had 1,000-yard seasons. So you went to college with Allen Robinson. Tell us a little bit about him and how he developed into what he is now. Did you see this kind of success coming for him?
Yeah, always. We came in together as freshmen, you know, and we've been roommates all through college too. But, yeah, he worked every day. You know, I was a corner, he was the receiver. So everything between us was competitive. In the house, you know, it was about six of us that was always together, and we was competitive in everything, and we would go out and do extra work in, you know, Haluba Hall, and one-on-ones every day, and he worked on his craft when nobody was out there, you know, browsing so quick, but he was a hooper. So that's where he makes his money at now.
Vic was even saying that in the press conference. Yeah. He just goes, like Alshon, goes up and gets him.
Yeah, he used to basketball. He used to, you know, put his head through the rim. So that's where he makes his, you know, his money at now is going up and playing the ball and things like that. And, you know, they have a lot of compliments around them, mm-hmm. you know, that are pretty good too on the outside.
So he's going across the middle. Bortles makes a little bit of a late throw. He's stretched out across the middle, arms well above his head. Do you light him up in the rib area, or do you tackle him with the arms because, you know, you got a little buddy thing going?
No, ain't no buddies.
All right.
Ain't no buddies come game time. He'll do the same to me, too. So, you know, once we out there, you know, we boys after the game. But, you know, in the game, yeah, we plan and we competitive.
Forget
about all that.
It was this week Jarrell Freeman was mic'd up,
right.
And we got to listen to it, and you hear a lot of conversations of guys not exchanging pleasantries, but hey, how you doing for you? Or when he's tackled Frank Gore for the first time, said hi to him and stuff. And that's kind of the weird things that happen when you become professionals, because it's different than hanging out in a college campus and going through college practices. Now it's a money game, so it'll be I think there'll be a lot of fun to watch you guys and how you handle your duties, because there is a chance that you're going to be able to hit them, you know, in a physical manner.
Yeah. I mean, me and him got a weird relationship though. So I don't think it's going to be too much, you know, buddy, buddy, I love you type thing, you know, on the field. So, I'm not even, you know, worried about that. We exchange jerseys after the game though. You know, we competitive, and then right after we can, you know, be cool. So,
right.
So you know, that's how it is.
Any communication between you two guys so far this week, or no? Any smack talking going on? Or
I mean, me and the six guy I was talking about, you know, in college, they was called Super Six and all that. So we got a group text. So we text all, you know, every week. So you know, we always in contact.
So how many guys are on that group of six? How many guys are on your side for this Sunday, and how many are on Allen's side?
They don't choose no side. So, so if, you know, I get beat, they going, you know, clown me. If he get beat, they going to clown him. So, well, if he get, you know, hit or anything like that, you know, they going to clown him. So, it's just competitive. One of them play for Tampa Bay, you know, one for the Jets and things like that. So,
well, it's good that you got him at home because yeah. I think the crowds are going to come here and with high expectations of the Bears.
Right.
You guys had a good performance against Indianapolis. Unfortunately, you fell on the short end of it. So I think the support is going to be there on behalf of the crowd wanting to cheer you on for a big hit, whether friend or foe.
Right. You know, I expect a, you know, big turnout because, you know, we got to get the season turned around.
Yep.
Do you see a lot of when you're looking at him on tape now, do you see a lot of the exact way he was at Penn State?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit, you know, better. You know, he gets better, you know, every year. So, but his style of play, you know, is a lot similar.
All right, well, time for our final break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We'll wrap things up, and I want to bring up the current member of Penn State, some of the highlight reel plays he's made when we continue here with Adrian Amos and wrap things up from the PNC Studios at Alice Hall. Heading down the home stretch here at Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. Wrapping things up here with Bears safety Adrian Amos. So let's go back to the alma mater here. And every Saturday night, when I'm watching the national highlight shows, when they're showing Penn State, they got to show your kicker running down after kicking off. And, well, first couple weeks he was lighting a couple guys up. And now I think the video and the word's gotten around. He has become a lightning rod for the American public. And even in this room here, in discussing it during the break with Tom here, Joey Julius. So was he like this in practice when you were a senior and he was, what, a freshman at the time?
Yeah, he was a freshman. No, he wasn't like this, you know what I'm saying? He don't get opportunities. He better not hit nobody in practice. But he's been blowing people up on kickoff now. You know, people don't like that too much.
And Adrian's loving it. 5'10", 260 pounds running down the field. Tom's just shaking
his
head.
Waddling down the field, first of all. You know, Kevin Butler, the kicker that I played with when I was with the Bears, was one of the best tackling kickers I've ever seen in professional football, and Robbie Gould was a good tackling kicker. So you have to put a little bit of emphasis making sure that you just don't let those guys run down the field because they are making the tackle at last resort. But if this guy is going to waddle down the field, then he's got to be blockable.
He's a human bowling ball, Tom.
Well, then he, you know, every one of those kickoff returns, they have a scheme on how you're going to block it and how you're going to make your alley and how you're going to attack the guys that are coming downfield. If he's going to be 260 coming down the field, then he's got to wear shoulder pads for a reason.
Man, I don't know about that.
I don't expect you to, you know.
When it's a touchback, man, you lead a kicker. It's the play
right,
over.
When it's a touchback,
you
know what
I'm saying? He took his mouthpiece out and everything. You can't be mad because the kicker.
Did the whistle blow?
If you're a kick returner, you got to make the kicker miss.
You know
what I'm saying? That's a kicker coming down. But he's coming down. He's coming downhill.
If he's coming down and taking his mouthpiece out before the whistle blows, you're fair game.
Yeah. I mean, but if the kickoff team is blocking the kicker, that means somebody else not blocked. So that's – I mean, that's good. That's good for the kickoff team.
He's gotten his comeuppance here in the last couple of games, I guess. I've got about a minute left. So when Adrian Amos rolls out of here, the day's done at Halas Hall, what do you do to chill and relax? What do you like doing in your spare time?
Well, after a long day like this, you know, I go, you know, get an Epsom salt bath, you know, get my legs together. It's starting to get to the middle of the season, you know, climbing into there. So, you know, take care of my legs. Eat, of course, you know, and then watch some film and if it's a new show on Netflix or something, I'll watch that until I go to sleep.
You don't have any new shows during the season. You got your tablet at home. You got your practice on there. You put it in a Ziploc bag, soak your legs, and watch 7-on-7, 9-on-7.
Yeah, you watch it, but you watch too much. You start overthinking stuff. You know,
never.
You watch stuff all night. You start, you know, anticipating stuff too much, and then that don't happen. Then you just be all messed up.
Yeah, so. just don't drop that Surface tablet in the Epsom salts bath either, man.
Yeah,
Adrian,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate your time. We've forced you to stay an extra hour here from when you usually got here, or even more than that. So thanks so much for your time. Good luck this week. Take care of Alan. Okay. Adrian Amos. Opposite Allen Robinson and the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up Sunday at Soldier Field. Thank you all for listening. For Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.